Genesis 15 today on Through the Word, a chapter about believing God at His Word and learning to trust God to keep His promise. Our story is about Abram, a simple man who followed God's call to leave everything behind and follow the Lord to a new place. God made promises to Abram, and Abram decided to trust. When you make a deal with someone, when you enter an agreement to work together or build a relationship together, you put yourself on the line. There's a lot of risk. And the more you risk, the more you want some assurance. Do I know that I can trust this guy to keep his word? We've all had our trust broken before. I've been burned in both finance and friendship. So when opportunity comes up, how do you decide if you should trust again? In Genesis 15, Abram is in that place of deciding whether to trust. Only this one is big. It is a trust in God. Abram has put his whole life on the line for this one. He walked away from everything. And God's promises were big. Many descendants in a great big land and blessings for the whole world. But some years have passed, and thus far, no kids and no land. In chapter 14, Abram went to battle to rescue his nephew Lot. He was offered loads of worldly reward by the king of Sodom, but Abram turned it down. Which brings us to chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. God's promise of a shield and a reward are timely. Abram was just returning from a war where he'd made many new enemies, and he had turned down all of the earthly rewards. But God tells Abram not to be afraid. And instead of handing him a shield and a reward, God says, I am your shield. Rather than protect Abram from a distance, God promises to be Abram's protection. And while in some translations God says, your reward shall be great, I believe the NIV and the King James have it better. God tells Abram, I am your exceedingly great reward. God wasn't simply taking Abram through all of this process in order to give him stuff. He was bringing Abram through it to form a relationship, a covenant. God's promises to Abram in verse 1 are amazing. We could spend all day just thinking about what it means. God is our shield. God is our reward. But if you think about it and you don't get it right away, don't feel bad. I don't think Abram quite understood it either. In verse 2, but Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. So apparently the God is my reward concept didn't fully click. Abram's mind was on human things. He wanted children. And God was compassionate. In verse 4, God assured him that his own son would be his heir. And in verse 5, and he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. That's a beautiful phrase there. He believed the Lord. Abram was very much anxious and worried. It had probably been building up for years. That's hard to get past. But God said, you'll have kids. And Abram just believed. He took God at his word. And imagine Abram's joy, standing there and counting stars. Anxiety gone, years of built-up worry vanished. Just simple faith. So as Abram looked up and started counting kids, God looked down and saw something beautiful. He saw genuine faith. And in verse 6, the Lord counted it to Abram as righteousness. And here we have the beginning. The key verse to one of the foundational principles of the entire Bible. Here is salvation by faith. The New Testament refers to this story and this verse specifically on several occasions. Abram believed, and God credited it to him as righteousness. God credited. Credit means something placed on your account. You have it, and it's there. So what was credited to Abram? Righteousness. The word righteous means right with God or a right standing before God. The Hebrew word for righteous translates literally to rightly robed, as in properly dressed for the occasion. See, faith is like the garment that we wear to stand before God and feel unashamed, knowing that we belong there. We are righteous by faith. And then in verse 7, and he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. God basically says, I brought you out to bring you in. That goes for you too. God brought you out of your old life with a purpose, and God will fulfill that purpose. And Abram believes God, but he asks for a little help with his unbelief. In verse 8, "But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?" So Abram believes the promises, but he wants a sign. He wants a surety. Abram's been waiting on these promises a long time. He believes them, but he also knows how hard it is to hold on to belief while waiting. So he asks for a sign, and God gives him one. The story that follows in the rest of the chapter will seem like a strange one to you, but it would make perfect sense to Abram. God and Abram are cutting covenant. God asks Abram to fetch a heifer, a goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. And in verse 10, "And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half." Now, for those of you wondering what on earth Abram is doing, understand that this was a traditional ceremony in that time. When two people wanted to enter an agreement, but they wanted some assurance that they could count on the word of the other person, they would cut covenant. Rather than just sign a contract on the dotted line, they would take an animal, kill it, cut it in two, and then split the two halves opposite from each other and walk together between the two halves of the animal, basically saying, "I'm dead serious about this agreement." Okay, so this may seem a little strange to us, but we still do something similar. Only instead of dead animals, we walk between lawyers. Seriously, though, lawyers are not like dead animals, but they are a way for us to say, "I'm dead serious about this agreement and these promises." Like two young boys spitting on their hand and shaking to make a solemn oath. We want a sign of commitment. God gives Abram that sign, but rather than walk between the pieces together, God waits until Abram passes out. The covenant that God made with Abram was a one-way commitment of unconditional love. It was entirely God's grace, asking nothing in return. Then in verse 17, "When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates." So God cuts the covenant with Abram and promises the land and the offspring without condition and without revocation. Remember I told you in Noah's story that covenant is foundational to our relationship with God. This covenant with Abram is the bedrock of the Jewish family and the Jewish faith. Like Abram's life, it is not built on man's work or man's righteousness. It is built entirely on the faithful promises of Almighty God. Read Genesis 15 today and consider God's promises to you as well. Do you trust him? Do you simply believe him at his word? As the old hymn has it, "'Tis so sweet just to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and to know, thus saith the Lord."
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.